This is Radio MD COVID-19 Daily, your source for COVID-19 news from the front lines of healthcare. I'm Caitlin White. Time to kick off another beautiful week of being home. It's April 27th. After the news, we'll hear an interview on how to get better sleep during the pandemic and how one engineer is trying to help healthcare workers to get more personal protective equipment. Zoom has been one of the heroes of this pandemic, keeping us connected via video chats with friends and family. And of course, to everyone I've been Zooming with, this isn't about you, but all these Zoom chats can get a little exhausting, can't they? With more on Zoom fatigue is Radio MD's Bill Klaproth.
So are you exhausted after a day of Zoom meetings? Marissa Schuffler, an associate professor at Clemson University who studies workplace well-being, says, when you're on a video conference, you know everybody's looking at you. You're on stage. So there comes the social pressure and feeling like you need to perform. And being performative is nerve-wracking and stressful. So how can we alleviate Zoom fatigue? Limit your video calls to those that are necessary. Turning on the camera should be optional, and build transition periods between video meetings to help you refresh. And in some cases, Schuffler says, consider if video chats are needed. Shared files with clear notes can sometimes be a better option that avoids information overload. For Radio MD News, I'm Bill Klaproth.
Even though we don't have really anywhere to go, reckless driving has increased during the pandemic, according to the Governor's Highway Safety Association. With streets wide open due to less traffic, people are getting a little careless on the roads. Police in Colorado, Indiana, Nebraska, and Utah have clocked drivers going more than 100 miles per hour on highways. In New York City, automated speed cameras issued over 24,000 tickets at the end of March, nearly double the number issued daily a month earlier. Car crashes and related deaths in Minnesota are more than double what they were in the same time period in previous years, and half of the deaths were due to speeding or careless and negligent driving. One of the last tasks to get you out of your house is to pick up prescriptions. We go now to Radio MD Scott Webb with one pharmacist's tips on picking up medications during the COVID-19 outbreak.
Most of us have a pharmacy near our homes, but in light of COVID-19, there are some tips to avoid making too many trips to your pharmacy. First, ask about medication synchronization. That's the practice of picking up all your meds at the same time. Next, try for 90-day refills on your meds whenever possible. Note your doctor may need to be contacted for approval. And finally, it's best to try and resolve issues over the phone or internet before making a trip to your pharmacy. Note some pharmacies do offer home delivery, which could save you any trips at all. Reporting for Radio MD News, I'm Scott Webb.
COVID-19 is, of course, on all our minds and keeping some of us up at night. I know sleep has not been coming easy for me during all of this. Here to tell us why sleep is so important during times of stress and how we can hopefully get sleep easier is Dr. Eldred Taylor, a functional wellness doctor in Atlanta. Tell us about why sleep is so important, especially during stressful times, you know, like this pandemic.
Well, sleep is so important because that is really when your body identifies and attacks foreign invaders. The immune system works best during your sleep. And even just the missing a day or two of sleep can suppress your immune system. So sleep is very important. That's how you rejuvenate yourself. That's how your body repairs itself to get ready for the next day and all of the challenges ahead. So sleep is of utmost importance.
What is the recommended amount of sleep, especially, you know, when our schedules are so thrown off?
Well, yeah, 6 to 8 hours of sleep is what is recommended now. Different people can function differently on different amounts of sleep. Personally, if I get more than 8 hours of sleep, I'm sluggish. My wife, she needs her 8 hours or more for her to feel fine. So somewhere between 6 to 8 hours. And it's also the quality of your sleep. If you're sleeping 8 hours, but you're waking up, you know, 3 or 4 times during the night, you have an interrupted sleep, you know, that's not as good as having 6 hours of deep, restful, regenerating sleep.
And what would your suggestion be for people, you know, like I mentioned, the schedules are so out of whack. You don't have to really wake up for a job if you don't have one anymore and you might want to sleep in or stay up later. Are we supposed to be, you know, maintaining a regular, quote unquote, sleep schedule?
Yeah, it is best to have a routine sleep schedule. There's something called a circadian rhythm that is primarily manifested through the production of cortisol, the stress hormone, where cortisol should be high in the morning and low at night. You have a circadian rhythm. That's why if you live on the East Coast and fly out to the West Coast, you know, if you normally wake up at 7 o'clock, you'll wake up at 4 o'clock because your body has these natural rhythms. So it's best to continue that rhythm. When you distort that circadian rhythm, then it throws off all types of body functions. Everything in the body, you know, uses a rhythmic type response. So even in this, when your schedule is disrupted, you really don't want to disrupt your sleep schedule, because you want that circadian rhythm to stay stable, because that's how it helps your body to function at its maximum level.
So what are some tips you can give people who might be having trouble getting to sleep, staying asleep, just with all this extra added stress and uncertainty?
Yeah, I told you that cortisol is that stress hormone. So of course, that's going to be produced more during this time. And that stress hormone, cortisol, it mobilizes glucose so that you have the energy to do what you need to do. It's that fight or flight reaction. So a lot of people are in that fight or flight stage. They're worried about their finances, their family, they're having to homeschool their kids. So cortisol production is up. And again, that throws off that circadian rhythm. So the tips would be is to do something to try and relieve that fight or flight response. Breathing helps. When you get anxious, you have short, shallow breaths. Deep breathing will help lower that cortisol level. Do some type of relaxing activity. You can get online and take yoga classes, meditation, Tai Chi, Qigong, all of those things. This is a great time. A lot of people said, hey, I'm going to do that one day. Well, this is a great time to do it, because that fight or flight response actually suppresses your immune system and actually makes you more susceptible to the virus. And it's more likely that you're going to overreact to the virus. We all know that when we're stressed out, we hadn't gotten enough sleep, we're more likely to get a cold, because that stress, it suppresses your immune system. So it's vitally important to try to manage that stress during this time, to not panic, to be able to make, you know, good decisions, informed decisions, and just don't panic. Panic is the worst thing that we could do, and listening to the news is going to stimulate a panic response. So, you know, I say listen to 5 minutes of it, then turn it off and go on Netflix and look at a funny movie, or, you know, play games with your kids. All of that is going to help keep your immune system at a point where it can fight off this virus, decrease your likelihood of having a serious infection. And all those things are important. And it's going to help you to sleep. If you don't panic, it's going to help you to sleep.
Great. Well, Dr. Taylor, thank you so much for your time this morning. Any other advice just for getting some sleep during this stressful COVID-19 time?
You know, again, I just say, you know, don't panic. I'm telling you, that's probably my best advice. If you don't panic, you'll be able to sleep. If you don't panic, you're going to keep your immune system strong, and you're going to get through it. You know, we've gotten through a lot of things in our lifetime, and we'll get through this. But just don't panic. That's probably my biggest message.
I think we're all doing our best, right?
Yeah. It's easy to say, it's hard to do.
I know, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Taylor, thank you so much for your time this morning. I appreciate it. It'll be some good advice for some people.
All right. Thank you.
PPE shortages are all over the news lately. But some engineers in the School of Engineering at the University of Alabama at Birmingham are providing assistance to their local hospitals. A team there has created face shields using 3D printers that can be put to immediate use by medical personnel at UAB's hospital. Here to tell us more about their work is today's healthcare hero, Justin Cook, director of the school's undergraduate design lab. Why did you want to get involved with making protective gear during this pandemic?
So I'm an engineer, like to make stuff. It's my way of being able to help out right now, because my facility at UAB is actually closed. So it's allowed me to occupy my time and it's also benefiting the community. So it's kind of a win-win.
So how are you using 3D printers and your engineering skill to help the hospital?
So we started out 3D printing headbands, went through several modifications. And then as we were working with UAB, we started hearing about a greater number. We actually had to get away from 3D printing. And then that's where the engineering side of it came in. We were looking at alternative methods of manufacturing. Mm. Our current method right now is we're actually laser cutting the bands out of acrylic. And then the shield itself is a disposable shield that we're having cut by a printing company who's cutting a 1,000 a day, I think, is what their number is.
So do you know how many masks you've made off the top of your head?
So currently we have about 1,000 of the reusable acrylic frames. And I think there was 3,500 disposable face shields to date. We're expecting another delivery tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
So we should have another, hopefully, 2,000.
That's incredible. And how would you encourage other engineering schools or facilities with this type of gear to also get involved?
So when this whole thing started, we're ramping up production. I've got contacts down at the University of Alabama. We've had contact with JSU. And a large part of this, the support with the print shop and the laser cutting, is actually coming from Alabama Power in their TAC center down in Calera. And so with UA helping that area, so they've got, so their engineering group is integrated with Mercedes and a couple of other local areas to help make the bands and face shields for that area. And they're distributing up to us. Same with JSU, where they're distributing out there and then down to us as well. And so we're kind of trying to take the whole central part of Alabama and get everybody covered.
Absolutely. Well, anything else you want to add just about the project you've been working on? Sounds like it's keeping you busy in quarantine times.
It is. It is. Hopefully, if everything goes like these numbers are showing, we may not need too many more, and we can actually get back to our normal daily lives.
This has been Radio MD COVID-19 Daily. If you want us to highlight a healthcare hero you know, or have any other ideas for us, email us at COVID19daily@radiomd.com. That's, of course, COVID19daily@radiomd.com. Enjoy the rest of your Monday, and we'll see you tomorrow afternoon. I'm Caitlin White. Stay home and stay healthy.